Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You hear me okay? Say something.
You're listening to On Air with Russell of Hotels, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to On Air with Russell of Hotels, where we talk about everything hospitality, from hotels to influencers and everything in between. We will feature guest interviews with hospitality professionals who will share their experiences. Your host, Russell Edmond, has spent over 25 years in the hospitality industry, beginning his career with Marriott International in hotel operations, before moving into the sales arena and becoming a relationship building director of sales and marketing. Russell then went to the other side as a hospitality entrepreneur. He now consults in the hotel and meeting space, which includes being the CEO of Russell of Hotels Group. Did I mention he was a veggie foodie? Yes, Russell is always looking for good non-meat eats. Please welcome your host, Russell Edmond.
Good afternoon, and thank you for joining On Air with Russell of Hotels. This is a special edition today. You know, it's right before the holidays. Happy holidays to everyone. Today is Tuesday. I don't know what the date is. The 26th? Oh, no, I'm sorry. The 24th. Today's the 24th. It is Christmas Eve. So thank you very much for joining us on air as well as on Facebook Live. So we do appreciate that. So I do have a guest today. I'm going to bring him in a little while. We're kind of rushing to get this thing in. He was on a hot call earlier. So, you know, so I had to give him time to kind of depress from the call that he was on and then get ready for the show. Right. And, you know, when they walk in here, they think that, you know, they think this is some fly-by-night, you know, operation here. He walked in and he looked around and said, oh, this is, let me put on my, he had a t-shirt on earlier, right, a sweatshirt on. So he had to put on a, you know, a jacket and a tie and a new shirt and everything. And I said, you don't have to do all of that. But, you know, he said, no, this is a big deal here. And I said, okay, well, you know, people don't realize when they come to On Air with Russell Hotels, the studio, it's like, you know, it's real. This is real. It becomes
it's
real.
It's a real deal.
It's a real deal, exactly. But my guest today is Christopher Bush. He is a financial advisor for why am I thinking? I always call it Christopher Bush Financial, but it's tell me wealth after work. Wealth yes. after work. Yeah. Okay, it's wealth after work. I'm sorry. I'm looking at my notes and I forget. But anyway, we're going to get to Chris in a minute. He's just going to listen for a second, and then I'm going to go through my progression. You know, everything, you know, there's a format for everything, right? But anyway, but happy holidays, everyone. I do appreciate you joining me today on Tuesday, like I said, which is Christmas Eve. Hope you guys have done your shopping. I mean, here in L.A., the traffic is crazy. I hate going to malls, and I picked up Chris today at the mall, and I'm right in the middle of traffic, right? I'm like, man, I hate this stuff. But anyway, that's okay. Industry news. Let's get into it. Industry news today. I don't have a lot of industry news today because, to be honest with you, I haven't been reading a lot of industry news. But I'm going to tell you this. I'm going to tell you where I went last night, right? So if I don't have industry news, I'm going to tell you the last restaurant I ate at. And last night I had you guys know I have my vegan ways, right? I'm a vegan, so I try to share different vegan restaurants or vegan recipes with you. So today is no exception. So last night I was at Monty's Burger Place, Burger Joint, Good Burger. It's on Western in K-Town or Koreatown for people that are not from L.A. I'll give you the address. I mean, I'm so impressed with it. I'm going to give you the address. It's 516 South Western Avenue in K-Town, right in the middle of K-Town. So it's 100% plant-based burger restaurant. It's like the vegan In-N-Out, if you will. Okay, right? Grilled onions, The patties are good. I mean, everything. The bun is like a potato bun, so it's real soft. I mean, it's... Man, I wish I had another one right now.
Is that where we're going after this?
We're going after... Exactly. Now, mind you, it can be kind of pricey, right? But, you know, anything that's healthy and, you know, maybe a little different from the norm is always going to be a little on the high price side. But you got burgers. It had cheese, vegan cheese, French fries. They even had tater tots if you wanted tater tots as well, right? So I like tater tots, but I didn't get those last night. Then I got a strawberry shake, which is 100% vegan, right? It's non-dairy strawberry shake. Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy. Chris is like, yeah, right. I'm a meat eater, dude. Just give me the meat.
When I'm with you, I'm a vegan. That's what this one's
going to be. There you go. So if you guys are ever in L.A. and you want to try a good 100% plant-based burger restaurant, which is, the vegan In-N-Out, okay? So, you know, In-N-Out is a standard for California, right?
So that's the standard, right? That's the standard. So that's what they call themselves, the vegan In-N-Out.
Well, I'm calling it that. Okay. I'm throwing it out there. They didn't say
that's
this.
That's probably a new marketing strategy for them.
Exactly. I'm trying to help them out. So the vegan In-N-Out, try it. 516 Southwestern Avenue. The people that kind of hang out there or eat there, kind of, you know, it's kind of the hipster kind of millennial, kind of that kind of thing, you know, maybe some health conscious people, you know, things like that. So I thought it was kind of cool. And they're playing, they're in there while we're eating, they're playing or they're bumping, you know, old like NWA and Run DMC and what's the I can't think of the Hip Hop Hooray song. Who sang that song? Hip Hop Hooray. You don't remember that one?
I do remember that one.
But you can't think of it?
I can't think of it.
Anyway, they're playing all kind of old school stuff. So you need to check like Cypress Hill and all that kind of stuff. All some of the OG hip hop stuff if you're into that. So that's what they play in there. Contact information. How do you get a hold of Russell of Hotels? Russell@russellofhotels.com is my email. Twitter, I'm at Russell of Hotels. IG, which is Instagram for you people that don't know what IG is Instagram. I'm at Russell of Hotels. LinkedIn, Russell L. Edmond. Two Facebook pages, Russell L. Edmond and Russell of Hotels. And guess what? I have a website as well, and it's russellofhotels.com. So that's how you get me. We're a live show, right? So every Tuesday at 1 o'clock PST, Pacific Standard Time, we are a live show. So there's no take two. You know, we were late, you know, whatever. There's no take two. I did start a little later, but I can't stop and say, hey, Chris not here. Let me stop. Okay, now he's here. Take two. No, we can't do that. So we just go with the flow. But we do become a podcast after this, right? So awesome. Once it's done, it's on your favorite podcast platforms. Just look for On Air with Russell Hotels, and you'll find us. So that's Google Play, Apple Play, Spotify, whatever you listen to. We do have that. Sponsorship opportunities, if you're interested in sponsoring On Air with Russell Hotels, just like today, it says Wealth After Work. That's what it says. That's who sponsored me today. So, and which is Chris is the CEO of that fine organization. We're going to get into that in a minute, but if you're interested in that, you can definitely, one of those contact informations or contact ways of contacting me, you can contact me and we can talk about it. But you know, people always ask me, well, who listens to the show? I say, well, it's a hotel hospitality-based show. So probably 50% of those people are people that actually buy, you know, hotel, meaning they buy the services. They need hotel. They need it for space or meetings, conventions, retreats, things like that, or just for an event. And then the other are those hospitality professionals, the CVBs, the destination, the DMCs, the hotels, the restaurants, the foodie people, all that kind of stuff, the meeting planners. Those are the other 50% of the people that listen to it. And who are my feeder cities? I mean, who, you know, what cities do people listen to On Air with Russell Hotels? Most of them come from, well, LA, of course, is the major feeder city. Then they have Orange County. Then we have San Francisco, Chicago, and New York. Okay, those are the cities that listen. So if you're trying to reach, you know, people in those specific areas, then, you know, Russell Hotels, On Air or Russell Hotels may be the ticket for you. You never know. Because it's different, right? I mean, who's doing, I mean, a lot of people are doing the podcast and things like that. But how many people are doing, you know, hospitality-based, right? Not many. I think it's three of them. Me, Craig Sullivan in Orange County, and Glenn Houseman on the East Coast. Those are the ones that are doing it, as far as I know. Okay. So shout out to all three of those guys. Those are good
pioneer.
Guys.
They're
the pioneers. I just kind of jumped in after them.
That's it.
I like to do things differently. I like to mix it up. So that's, you know, one reason why I did the show is kind of get what I do out in the forefront, you know, so people see. So kind of a different avenue to get people to understand what it is. So what is Russell? What is the Russell of Hotels Group? So what does Russell actually do? Excuse me. Business development is one. I have a partnership with Broughton Hotels where my job is to help them find a new management contract. So they're a management company that manages hotels because a lot of owners don't want to manage their own hotels, or maybe they don't even have the expertise to do that.
Okay.
So a lot of them will hire companies to do that. Now, Broughton Hotels, which is based out of Orange County and Anaheim specifically, they have 15 hotels now, mainly boutique hotels, independent hotels. But they're looking to grow. I mean, they will do branded hotels as well, but their sweet spot is boutique independent hotels. So they're looking to grow that. So say they have 15 hotels now, they're looking to double that by the end of 2020. So I'm there to assist them with doing that. Exactly. So that's one thing. And this is a new thing I threw out last week, the financial planning arm of Russell Hotels, specifically for hospitality professionals, although, you know, when you hear this, what Chris is going to talk about, this is to help everyone out. But because my show is based hospitality specific, you know, of course, those are the people I'm going after first. Those are the people I think I can assist with some of the things that I've been learning and with the help of Chris. And that's the reason why Chris is on today, is because, you know, he's kind of showed me some things. He's helped us out, meaning my family, as far as, you know, financial planning and things like that, things that, you know, we're falling short on, you know, things that we thought we knew, but we didn't know. I mean, just kind of this whole educational thing. The same reason why Russell Hotels exists is a lot of it is part of education. It's educating people on, if it's not meetings, if it's the hotels, now if it's a business development, now it's financial planning as well. So that's from life insurance to mutual funds to 401ks to rollovers, things like that. So we're going to talk about a little bit about that too. So hotel site selection. So I do assist companies, organizations with hotel site selection, meaning they're looking to have a meeting somewhere. You ask Russell or Russell Hotels, that's me, to assist you with finding the right hotel that's suitable for your particular retreat, convention, or whatever it is. So 10 rooms or more is considered a group.
Okay.
So that's how that works. Digital marketing, if you guys follow me at all on social media platforms, you see I do a lot of digital marketing. I do a lot of advertising or promotion for hotels, destinations, even my show. I mean, the brand Russell Hotels was built, you know, one post at a time. And that was, I did the one post at a time. So if you look at LinkedIn, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, you'll see that, you know, a lot of the stuff that I do is devoted to hotels, destinations, and things like that. So that's another thing that I do. And then last but certainly not least, I'm a radio show host on Air with Russell Hotels. That's what I'm doing today. So I normally interview hospitality professionals. That's what we talk about. That's what we do. We see what they're doing. We see what they're, how they got into hospitality, you know, where they start, where they are now. So that way we can promote what they do, promote them. And then today, but like I said, today, I thought today would be a good idea. Excuse me, as I'm talking a lot, I have to take a drink of water. Today, I'm going to, you know, introduce a little different, like I said, it's something that can support, because I'm all about supporting our industry, the hospitality industry. And sometimes we kind of fall short, because like I said, I fell short on some things. So if I'm falling short, not saying it, you know, I'm never going to say I'm perfect, because damn, God knows that I'm not, right? And in financial stuff, I'm you know, have not been perfect on that either. But sometimes, you know, somebody shows you something different, and then you got to take it, and then, but then you don't just keep it to yourself. You got to share it with other people.
That's it.
Right? So you have to share that educational wealth with someone else, or educational knowledge with someone else. Who's on blast today? Brian Churchill, VP of LA Tourism. And what on blast is this? So Chris knows, he's like, what the heck is that?
What is on blast?
You putting people on blast here. Maybe this is not the show for me. But the people that are on blast are people that I want on the show.
Okay.
These are, you know, other hospitality professionals that I respect in the industry. I've known for a while. Not all of them I've known for a while, but, you know, I at least know who they are. And I want them on the show to come on and talk about and share their story, because everyone has a story, right?
Absolutely.
As do you, right?
Absolutely.
So Brian Churchill, VP of LA Tourism, you're on blast. Carol Motley, a.k.a. C. Mott, out of D.C. Actually, she's a director of convention sales with Destination D.C. Luis Torres, who is out of, or he's here in L.A. He's at Universal Studios. And Stephanie Corsino with Hong Kong Tourism. You guys are on blast. I want a quick thank you to Miss Stacy Gaston, DOSM, at the Glenmark Hotel. She was our guest last week. I do appreciate her time coming in and talking about her hotel. She has not opened her hotel yet. I mean, I think the people that tuned in last week, you remember, but the people that didn't, she's with the Glenmark Hotel, which is a Marriott Tribute Collection hotel, which is a soft brand of Marriott. They're in Glendale, California. So they're soon to open first of the second quarter of 2020. So look for that. In fact, we talked about doing a broadcast show from there when they open up. So look forward to that, because they have this awesome rooftop lounge and things like that. So I'm looking forward to seeing that. Looking forward to, you know, seeing all the great things. It's an 85-room hotel, new build. I thought it was a kind of a remodeled building, but no, it's a new build hotel. And it's called the Glenmark Hotel in Glendale, California. So with that being said, I'm going to introduce today's guest. Okay, so I have questions for him. He doesn't know what these questions are. Okay, so
no rehearsal.
Because like I said, he was on the phone call from L.A. to Sherman Oaks. Okay, so we didn't get a chance to talk about anything. So that's fine. But I know he can answer these questions because there's, you know, they're about his business, so he should know, right?
I should know, right?
If he doesn't know, maybe I need to get another financial advice. That was a joke, people, okay? So anyway, introduction today. Mr. Chris Bush, financial advisor for the Bush Financial Group, LLC. But the company that I like to say is Wealth After Work, because what does that mean? I mean, that's you say Wealth After Work, meaning you need to be doing something today, because when you stop working, you want to make sure you're still taken care of, right?
That's it.
So without any further ado, welcome to the stage, Mr. Christopher Bush.
Thank you, Russell. That's an interesting how I can. A lot of people always ask me how did I always come up with the name Wealth After Work.
Mm-hmm.
The real story is, you know, I was graduated from Tuskegee University. Mm-hmm. So my major was engineering.
Okay.
You know, so going into the engineering field, I never really thought that I would be, you know, talking about insurance, investments, 401k plans, helping business owners, helping individuals about finance. I never wanted to do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but what happened in 2008, when the market crashed, that's mm-hmm. when I graduated. And my parents were like, Chris, you know, we got to figure out this finance stuff. So at 22, I went back and got all my licenses and education and became an advisor, or really just came to learn the financial industry,
mm-hmm.
you know. And it's from that point, I just always had a passion to that education, because no matter what type of college degree we have, where we went to school, what type of education we have, they don't teach us this in school. You know, so as I was working in corporate America, I said, well, you know what? I know I'm not going to work in corporate America for long, right? Mm-hmm. So I was actually an engineer for ExxonMobil Corporation in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. And I was actually one of their engineers in the refinery.
Mm-hmm.
So I always had this vision, say, okay, look, I know I don't want to be here for the next 30 years. I just can't do it. So I said, okay, I need to find a way that I can create wealth after work, right? Because I work from 9 to 5 every single day, or between 7 to 5, or sometimes 6 to 6, or whatever they call me for, right?
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, I said, look, I have to find out a way for me to focus on myself, focus on my lifestyle, because me just having a job, going to school, getting an education is not going to get me financially where I need to be, right? So I said, okay, look, I want to be able to start creating wealth after work so I can be free. I can live the life of my dreams in the next 5 to 7 years. I can retire early. I can provide for my family. So that's where the vision of the company Wealth After Work came from, because mm-hmm. that was my mindset when I was at my job doing engineering at ExxonMobil, because I just, look, I got to hurry up and get out, and I got to go create this wealth.
Okay,
right?
Okay.
Now, I don't know if you knew all that.
I didn't know all that,
that's where it came from.
I knew at 22, you're making well over 6 figures.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
And now, who would want to leave that? I mean, that seems very comfortable, especially at 22 when you
especially
really.
Especially in Mississippi, right? right? I mean, I'm missing in LA, right? Me living in LA now, 100,000 making six figures. I mean, it's tough in LA making six figures, right? But yes. See, in Mississippi, you can have a lake in the back, some chicks, some ducks. I mean, you can have it all, right? A mansion for six figures, right? Mississippi and Louisiana. But for me, it's just I understood this. I mean, I'm a logical person, right? If a corporation's willing to pay me $100,000 a year at 22 years old, how much am I really worth to the corporation? Right. If you got to think about it, they're willing to pay me $100,000. That has to be a small. I'm a small budget. Right. I'm a small line item in their budget. So I'm at least worth $1 million, $2 million. So for me, that's why I was like, OK, I can't get comfortable making $100,000. Right. If I work for myself, I'm my guarantor. Right. Mm-hmm. I can guarantee anything because I believe in myself. Number one. Mm-hmm. So I was like, OK, well, at least I should be making $1 million a year. That's what I'm worth at 22. So that's what really made me have that mindset, say, hey, look, I don't want to be here forever, right? Because I'm not getting paid what I'm worth. I'm only having 10 days vacation, 10 days off. I got to ask another boss to do what I want to do when I want to do it. I got to call in sick when I'm not sick just because I don't feel like going to work, right? Now the only person I have to call and tell that I need a request off is my wife. Sometimes that don't go too well. But, you know, that's why I didn't tell her about the show today.
Oh, you didn't?
No, she don't. She didn't even know about the show today. She's going to see it live like with us.
Oh, okay.
So if I get in trouble, it's on you.
I hope I don't get in trouble. All right. So we know how you got into financial planning
because
you said your parents. Tell a story about, you know, you said that during the crash.
Yep.
I mean, they lost a substantial amount of money, right?
Yes, sir.
And so you went back to school and learned so it didn't happen again to them.
Correct.
And then from there, you kind of say, you know what, well, maybe this Exxon Mobil thing is good, but.
So I started doing a business part-time.
Right? Okay.
So I started part-time. So I was part-time. You know, anytime that I had off, I did different speaking engagements to churches, to communities, to nonprofits. Mm-hmm. I do a lot of financial stewardship workshops. I work a lot with kids.
Okay.
You know, that was one of my passions is that, okay, well, I'm 22 and none of my friends that are engineers knew this information.
Okay.
Right? So it was really a passion for me to say, hey, look, well, what if I can empower the kids? What I can teach kids financial literacy, mm-hmm. right? For two reasons. Number one, the kids need it, mm-hmm. right? But to see if you're able to inspire the kids, if I can get the kids talking about financial literacy, how to save and invest money, understanding not to just go put our money into the bank. Well, if they're having those conversations amongst themselves, now when they go talking, they go home to their moms and dads, and now their moms and dads are hearing those conversations that their kids are having about money, what is that logically going to do for the parents? Mm-hmm. See, now they're going to be more intrigued, more engaged, because it's going to be like, well, how does my son or daughter know things about money that I don't, right? So that was always my connection, mm-hmm. right? It's just something about the connection with kids and parents and information, right? Okay. Parents are always want to know what the kids know,
mm-hmm.
right? Yeah. So that's the more the kids know, the more the parents want to learn, even though we're a little later on in life.
Okay.
And I just love that bridge of that gap.
Okay. Yeah. Very good. I like that. So you're never too young to start investing or too old? Let me throw that out there.
Never too young, okay. Right? I'm having a daughter,
yes,
right? And a couple, it may be today, so I don't know.
Well, we better hurry up with this show then.
Right? So my wife, you know, our due date is January 17th. So I believe that, again, planning for her doesn't just start when she's born,
mm-hmm.
right? It starts before she's born, right? We had conversations, me and my wife, for what we want things to look like financially when she ever is born,
mm-hmm.
right? So I think there's you're never too early, right, to talk about money, right? To talk about laying a foundation. And the biggest thing is it's never too late, right? People say, well, Chris, man, this is great information, but man, I wish I would have understood this information when I was younger. Well, I wish it was too, right? Yes, we always can look back and say, hey, look, I wish I would have known this information. But at the same time, the next 3 to 5 to 7 years can be totally different what you're doing right now. Mm-hmm. So it's never too late to do it,
okay.
right? And it's huge because it's not just about, for me, how I look at it, it's money or finances is not just about me. It's about the legacy that I'm going to pass down,
mm-hmm.
right? So even if I would have learned this information at 70 and I've had kids and grandchildren, if somebody was willing to teach me something that can change not just my life, but the biggest thing now is how can they change a generation and leave my legacy for my last name into the next generations to come? Like, that's what's important. So okay. It's never too late.
So where do you start as far as, okay, I come to you, I don't know anything about anything, a financial plan. Now, you know that I'm an entrepreneur.
Yeah.
You know I'm a hospitality entrepreneur because I told you that,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
And I have a, you know, 401k from a previous job. Mm-hmm. I'm now, like I said, I'm now an entrepreneur, but I haven't done anything with that money. So when I left my job, I left the 401k, I left my insurance, my life insurance.
Yeah.
And I don't have a mutual fund.
Yeah.
What I'm telling you all this stuff. What kind of Where can you guide me in the right direction, I guess?
I think for me, anytime that I'm sitting down with a client, the first thing is we got to figure out what our destination is,
okay.
Right? We got to figure out, number one, it's our destination, but number two, where we're at, right? You got to think about this, LaRosa. If I invited you to my house for a Christmas party, what's the first thing you're going to ask me?
Bring some food.
Well, you'll probably end up bringing vegan food, right? Besides food, right? If I say, hey, look, I'm inviting you to my Christmas party, mm-hmm. right? It's at my house. What question would you ask me?
Do I bring anything?
No, or where is it? Right?
Yeah.
Right. You gotta know where it's at, right? Mm-hmm. So then I'm gonna give you the address, right?
Mm-hmm.
So when you get the address, you're gonna go ahead and put it inside your phone, and you're gonna go put the phone inside and get the address and pull up the GPS, right?
Mm-hmm.
So now the GPS is gonna ask for your current location.
Yep.
Right. Where you're at right now. So based on your current location versus to my house, it's gonna give you turn by turn directions to help you get where you are today, pretty much where you want to go, which is my Christmas party.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's where I start when it comes to financial plan, right? See, I need to understand, number one, what's your current location? I need you to share your location with me, right? We talk, I guess, with phones and stuff, technology.
Mm-hmm.
I need you to share your location, right? What does finances look like? What is your bills, your budgets? What do you have saved, like we talked about? Do you have other retirement accounts? Do you have other life insurance policies? What type of debt do you have? Is it credit cards? Is it more student loans? I need to know, again, where you're at right now financially,
okay.
Right? Before I can kind of plan put together a plan to help you for your future,
okay.
Right? That's the first thing. And then, of course, once we understand where we are, then we just got to have a better conversation and say, hey, look, where do you want to be now, right? When do you want to retire,
mm-hmm.
right? For me, I really don't believe in retirement because retirement is just an age, right, for most people, right? 50, 55, 60, 65. But see, there's so many people that are of retirement age, but they still can't what?
They can't retire.
They can't retire. But see, because society has really focused on us and say, hey, look, when we reach this magical age, everything's supposed to be what?
It's supposed to be okay. Yeah.
But does that happen in real life?
No.
It doesn't happen. See, so that's one thing that I don't really believe in retirement. See, I focus on helping my clients. We focus on financial independence,
okay.
Right? So we need to figure out, okay, how much money do you have now? But the main thing is, how much money would you have later on? How much do you need? And that's going to give you a guaranteed income for the rest of your life. That's going to take care of your expenses.
Mm-hmm.
I want to focus on financial freedom, right? Mm-hmm. So that can happen in the next 3 years, 5 years, 20 years, 30 years. But we just kind of decide that based on how much money you want to save per month,
mm-hmm.
right? How quick we can eliminate debt, those type things.
Okay. Very good. So we're on, just for people just now joining us, we're on air with Russell of Hotels. We're taking a little turn to the left a little bit, but we're talking about finances and how I came with the topic. I mean, I met Chris like a little while ago, maybe several months ago. My family and I went to a financial workshop that he was having at USC, and it had to do with retirement. And my wife wanted to go, and because she wants to retire soon. And so we did the whatever 30, 45 minute presentation, and then invited him to the house to come and kind of delve into the actual finances of where your retirement is and all this kind of stuff. And he kind of came up with a plan, you know, what debt you had. I mean, like he said, there was a roadmap to where we wanted to go. And he kind of, showed us that roadmap. And then I was, in kind of a side conversation between him and I. He said, what did I do? And I kind of explained what I did. And it kind of, a light kind of went on, like, that's something that, people in our industry here, especially because within, and I'm not sure if I told Chris this, but a lot of people in our industry, we bounce around a lot, okay? Meaning we have one job here, yeah. Maybe for 2 years, and then we go to somewhere
hotel,
else.
Exactly.
So we keep bouncing around. So we, and a lot of the hotel companies do have 401ks and things like that, but we bounce around and we sometimes leave that 401k right where
we left, right? That's it.
And then we don't think that we should maybe move that somewhere else.
Absolutely.
And I'm not, I guess I'm not trying to put you on the spot,
yeah.
but should we leave it in that place?
Well, so yeah, I mean, that's a good point. I mean, especially as we become, we're transitioning, especially in the hospitality industry, sometimes we're W-2 employees, right? Or sometimes mm-hmm. we're independent contractors.
Yes.
But a lot of times if we're jumping around, like you said, a lot of them have 401k plans. But what happens when we leave the job, a lot of times we leave that money with them, with the job, or we end up pulling it out prematurely and getting taxed and penalized on it. Mm-hmm. Right. So I always tell people, look, I know this is probably not the best way to say it, but it gets the point across. Right. You know, I always ask my client if they have a money at an old job. So, you know, if you were Russell, so would you ever leave money with an ex-boyfriend or girlfriend?
No.
You never would, right? If you ever, right?
I don't think so.
You wouldn't.
I haven't.
Right? You would never leave money with one of your ex-girlfriends. Or you wouldn't make sure that money was what? Taken with you.
Exactly.
So, see, anytime that you have money that's left with a previous job, you always want to roll that money over into an account that you own. So that way you're working directly with the investment company. You're not working through your employer that works through the company, right? Because mm-hmm. technically that money is on the company's books, right? Even though it was with it's your money, but it's held in that company's books, right? On their balance sheet inside their plan. So you could be hit with excess fees. Mm-hmm. Because since you can't contribute to that account, well, even though the money will be growing, you're still assessing fees on that account based on what that 401k, whatever they decided into their plan design and their plan documents. Mm-hmm. So see, now if you're able to roll it over, you can lower your fees. You can have a concierge service as far as investment choices. So now you're not only limited to those 20 or 15 funds that you're able to pick from, right? Mm-hmm. So now you can work with any investment company, get any investments that you want, and you can make it tailored to, you know, maybe you want a vegan portfolio, right? You can make it vegan, right?
Okay.
Right? But see, the company only had it in a meat portfolio. But see, again, that's, I mean, a little extreme, but that's what it's really about, is making sure you have a customized portfolio that fits your needs.
Okay.
Right? It's
okay.
always moving to a personal IRA.
Very good. Very good. Okay. All right. See, there's some information here. Like I said, I try on air with Russell Fotel. We try to provide some education for everybody.
Absolutely.
And this is something that's, like I said, it's not. And when I put out my little promo piece this morning, I said this is something that everyone can relate to, or it's relevant to everybody.
Absolutely.
It's not just relevant to the hospitality industry, although, like I said, that's the place I come from. That's where I live. I want them to know this stuff. But it also for everyone. I mean, people that are retiring, people that maybe get a lump sum or something.
Yeah, or in retirement right now. I mean, not just even thinking about retiring, but in retirement now, right? It affects everybody.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. You want to talk about that?
Well, I mean, going back to one more thing about from a 401k standpoint, if we're, again, we're talking about hospitality, right? Mm-hmm. A lot of them are independent contractors, mm-hmm. right? Or have their own business. So it's so important, you know, a lot of self-employed people don't have a 401k, but you actually can have a 401k as a self-employed, right? You can be you are the owner of your company and you're all the employee. So you can have like a solo 401k,
okay.
right? As long as you have a corporation, right, mm-hmm. that has the EIN number, you know, of course, please consult with your tax advisor on this part.
Mm-hmm.
But you can also set up a solo 401k for you. So now you can contribute to your own 401k. So instead of just having a basic IRA, right, because IRA limitations for 2019, you can contribute up to $6,000 a year into a normal IRA account,
okay.
right? That's in an individual retirement account.
Mm.
But see, if you have a solo 401k, now you can do close to, what, $19,000 a year, right? That's a tax deductible.
Mm.
Then also your corporation could contribute from the corporate side. So that's another corporate tax deduction, but it's all under you. Right. So now you can potentially put away almost $56,000, or up to 25% of income, directly to your retirement plan. So now if you have 401ks from these other jobs, all those 401ks can be rolled over into your own personal retirement plan with a solo 401k. Right. So there's a lot of different investment institutions and companies that actually do that.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So you don't, you know, as self-employed people, we don't need to think that it costs too much to have our own plan. It's like $75 a year.
Okay.
Right. Around between $75 to $150, depending upon what institution you work with.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really cost effective for you to implement a plan, to manage it as well. But at least you can have, you say, hey, look, I'm the captain of my own ship.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Especially when it comes to my retirement, my future.
Okay,
so that's huge on that.
So that's huge, specifically for people like me, like meeting planners, things like that. We're all independent contractors, so we don't have to miss out on anything. The only thing we're missing out on is that, I guess, the employer match.
Correct.
That's but you still get the benefit of the tax shelter.
Well, you are the employer.
Exactly.
So if you decide to do employer match or employer profit sharing to you, you can absolutely do that. Right, but because depending upon how, again, talk to your tax advisor,
yeah.
that's going to dictate how much you should put away as maybe a profit sharing, or if you have an employee, again, you can have your own 401k plan.
Mm-hmm.
If you just have one helper or one worker that's on W-2, so you can do all of that inside. So you're not missing out on anything when you set up a 401k for yourself, okay. right, as self-employed.
Okay.
Not just having a Roth IRA or a regular traditional IRA. We all know about, not everybody knows, but most people, if they're self-employed, they contribute to an IRA or a Roth. They don't understand that you can actually get a solo 401k.
Okay.
I'm planning on all of that.
What is the difference between a traditional 401k and a Roth?
So traditional, again, it's just IRS. It's you can do up to almost like $6,000 a year if you're under 50. If you're over 50, you can do what you call a catch-up contribution of another $1,000. So a total of $7,000 a year, you can contribute to an individual retirement account.
Okay.
Right? A Roth IRA is typically using after-tax dollars.
Okay.
So that means all that money is going to grow completely tax-free, right, upon withdrawal.
Okay.
Right? So, I'm always recommend someone, they should always have a Roth, right, or making Roth contributions to inside their 401k account. But those are the differences on those two. So one's typically pre-tax, or if you're doing an IRA, it may be after-tax dollars, but that money doesn't grow tax-free. But a Roth, all that money that you contribute goes tax-free.
Hmm.
And you can contribute, again, up to $6,000 under 50, $7,000 anybody that's over 50 years old.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very good. That's just too much information.
Too much.
A lot of good information.
We're getting technical
today,
huh?
Too much, but enough. I mean, this is, like I said, it's towards the end of the year. We always think about taxes and what we're going to do to save money and things like that.
This is the time, right?
Exactly.
The phone call I was over on the way here, that's what the whole phone call was about.
Uh-huh.
Right? A lot of business owners and even myself, at the end of the year, we try to find as many ways if we can get the extra tax deduction, right? we do not want Uncle Sam to hit us too hard come January through March, right?
Mm-hmm.
So these are ways, having different retirement accounts. This is a way that you can lower your income and, get more tax deductions on that for utilizing these different retirement strategies.
Okay. Yeah. Life insurance.
Come on. Important.
You think so?
What? Absolutely.
Why do you think it's important?
Well, to me, life insurance is a way for us to pass down a legacy, right? Having life insurance is like writing your last love letter to your family.
Wow,
right,
that's deep, man.
Right?
Wow,
you really gotta think about it, your last love letter, right?
Okay.
So that's the last love letter that you can use. It's not about and life insurance isn't just about burial.
Okay,
right. I think a lot of people think about insurance. Oh, I just need $25,000 or $50,000 of coverage, and it's just for burial. Like we have that mindset where I don't want a bunch of insurance because I don't want anybody to make money off me.
Okay,
but see, this is the way I think about it. I got my first policy, Russell, when I was 22 years old. I got $1 million policy on myself. It was $92 a month, I remember, right? And a lot of people would ask me, Chris, at 22 years old, why would you need a $1 million policy? No kids, right? I just got the job, right? No house, right? Right? You see what I'm saying? Uh-huh. I didn't have anything. It was just me, single. So why would a single 22-year-old need $1 million? Because this is what I think. See, we're twice a child, once an adult. Right. Meaning that normally, OK, your mom and dad is going to take care of you up until age 18 or, but since then, as we get older again, and now our children end up having to take care of what?
The parents. Mm-hmm.
So that's what I'm saying. We're twice a child in our life and once an adult. So what happens is for me, it's me and my sister. My sister, she's 38. I guess I'm 33. Right. She's 38. So I know in our family, if God forbid something happened to me prematurely, if I precede my mom and dad's as far as death, then who's going to take care of my mom and dad as they get older? So if they were already struggling financially, well, if I pass away when I was the main one that was trying to be focused on helping them retire, helping them save and invest money, focus on providing a lifestyle, paying for healthcare costs, paying for assisted whatever they need as they get older. If I was supposed to do that, but I pass away too soon, then where's the money going to come from? Right? So see, for me, having $1 million life insurance policy, if I pass away, then boom, my parents automatically get $1 million. So see, even though I'm not here to do it physically for them, my money's still going to be left behind. And now everything that they were thinking about worrying about financially as they get older is all taken care of. Right? We think about selfishly for insurance. We think about it. Yeah. It's like, oh, well, I don't want to leave something. No, it's our duty to leave something behind. Right. Even my wife, we got married in 2016. Right. We both got a million. Right? We both need $1 million. Right. $2 million of policies. Right. Because at the end of the day, if I believe in taking care of my wife and kids when I'm alive, why would that change if I pass away?
That's true.
Right. If you believe in taking care of your family now, if you believe in working hard, putting food on the table, providing, making money, those type things, financial security, But see, if you don't have life insurance, are most people left in a better or worse situation nowadays when somebody passes?
Worse,
100% of the time.
Yep.
Because we don't understand insurance.
Mm-hmm. They don't have it.
What?
And then we got that thing called
GoFundMe.
GoFundMe. We want GoFundMe to fund everything.
Right? You know, or
funeral costs and all that.
Exactly. Right? Fish plates. Right? Barbecue plates. Right? Signs on the road, right?
Yeah, you're right. I mean, it's not funny, but it's reality.
It's reality. And it's something a $50 check. I mean, $50 a month. We pay more in. Think about this. Typically, most people that have two cars, auto insurance in California, easy between $150 and $200, right? Would you say?
Yeah.
Oh, right?
Yeah.
Easy.
Yeah, easy.
All right? So then your auto insurance is $150 to $200, right? But we're paying that per month every single way.
Every month.
To protect a hunk of metal.
Yeah.
Right? The car may be worth $40,000, $50,000, but mm-hmm. we're paying $150 to $200 a month. We have a cell phone, mm-hmm. right? We pay cell phone insurance. Mm-hmm. The cell phone, okay, is worth $1,000 if you have an iPhone,
mm-hmm.
right? But you pay $10 a month for iPhone insurance.
Yeah.
Right? Then we have home insurance.
Mm-hmm.
What we pay home insurance costs.
Yeah, we do.
So we understand about protecting a home, but we call it an insurance premium.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So with life insurance, the same way, right? But out of all those three things, your car, your home, the cell phone, right? Your family is most important. Why would we insure everything else, but we don't insure our family? Why is that the last thing we think about?
Wow. I had never heard it explained like that before.
Right,
I have life insurance, but I've never had it explained like that before.
Well, we get auto insurance when? The same way. The same day.
Yeah, same day. Exactly.
We get home insurance before we close on the home.
Yeah, exactly.
You get cell phone. Everything else is the same day, but why do we procrastinate?
We wait forever or we don't get it.
Yeah. I mean, there's, oh, dang, that sounds, I just can't afford it. What do you mean? You still eat out every day?
Yeah.
Right? It's so important. And the biggest thing is, Russell, with life insurance, is you can leave a good legacy behind.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
That means, think about it. God forbid something happened to us. Say $1 million gets transferred into a trust.
Mm-hmm.
But if you invest $1 million for one generation, let's say that's for 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
We invest it and say we get a hypothetical 9% rate of return, right? Which you can do, right?
Mm-hmm.
We can look that up. They can Google it and get a 9%, right? Not at a bank, but it needs to be with an investment company.
Mm-hmm.
Well, over 30 years, that $1 million invested, 30 years later, that'll be about $14.7 million in one generation. Right. So then if let's say you let that go another generation. So when my kids have kids, right? That's second generation, another 30 years. Now the trust or that insurance, right, from the trust will be worth about $216 million. Then third generation. So when my kids have kids, now it'll be worth about $3.1 billion, all because of one insurance policy that started today. A $1 million policy started today. Three generations, my kids will have about $3.1 billion just from life insurance.
Wow.
Paying a premium.
Wow.
So that's why it's important.
Wow. All you got to do, people that are listening and watching or whatever, all you got to do is Google the Kennedys.
That's it.
That's where they start. That's how they build their wealth, a lot of it on life insurance.
Yeah.
Exactly how they did it. So
that's how banks do it. That's, again, life insurance is key.
Exactly. So, okay. So, it sounds good to me. But like I said, I mean, if I see one more GoFundMe
on
Facebook, I'm going to lose it. But anyway, let's see. So we talked about solo 401k. Can you assist setting up these things?
Yeah, absolutely. So that's one thing that we do, right, at our firm. So any type of retirement accounts for no matter what somebody is, either small business owner, individual, a family, a big corporation, we can set up any type of 401ks,
mm-hmm.
right, or IRAs, Roths, any type of portfolios, even outside of retirement.
Okay.
Right? Because a lot of times people don't want to just only save for retirement because if you touch it too soon, you get taxed and penalized.
Okay.
Right? But there's a lot of portfolios that we can set up that can be completely tax-free. Right? That no penalties to withdraw.
Mm.
Right? Anytime you need the money, you can always get it. But see, at least we're getting a better rate of return than we would at a bank. Right? So we set up any type of financial portfolio or financial accounts. Of course, we do insurance. We help our clients with debt. So anytime somebody's in debt, we can put together a plan to kind of help you lower your interest rates, help you consolidate things, even with student loans, payments. We do a full debt elimination, debt recovery solution. So what else? Even auto, home, renter's insurance, we do that as well.
Okay.
Pretty much like wills and trusts, we have different partners that we work with because it's so important to have a trust in place, right? Especially living in California, like having a will doesn't avoid probate. So even if somebody has a will but no trust, it's still, if they have assets that's being passed along, it would have to go through probate if they didn't have a trust in place.
Okay.
So that's really important. That's another thing that we focus on as well.
Gotcha.
So
gotcha.
Anything financial, we can pretty much do.
Okay.
Right.
Now you mentioned,
so we don't do taxes.
You don't do taxes.
Don't do
okay.
taxes.
You don't want to do that.
No.
You mentioned one thing about banks and.
Yep.
So banks is not a good place to for me to invest my money. Should I keep my money in my savings account?
Well, I mean, so banks are good for transactions, right?
Okay.
For everyday transactions, right?
Okay.
But it's amazing to me when we think about it. You know, all major banks pretty much have an investment company on the backside, right? Bank of America has Merrill Lynch, right? Chase has J.P. Morgan. Wells Fargo has Wells Fargo Advisors, right? So most big banks have an investment company attached. Because think about it, when we put money into our bank, they're only giving us like a 0.01 to a 0.0025%. Like, they don't give us any rate of return from the bank. But then it's amazing to me, we go into banks now and credit unions, and you see, okay, you get a high yield savings account for 1.24%, right? A high yield checking account for 2%. Well, understand that if you're getting a 1.24% rate of return, that money's never growing. That money's never doubling. Right? That means you're getting pennies every single year. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So, see, a bank is really meant for a place for you to do everyday transactions. If you want your money to grow, you have to work directly with an investment firm, like a Fidelity or AXA, Lincoln Financial, Franklin Templeton, what else? A Bright House, a Invesco, those big companies, right? MFS, BlackRock. So those are the firms that we work with.
Mm-hmm.
Because, see, an investment company, their main job is to make money for who? For us.
Yeah.
The bank's main job is to what?
Take your money.
You know what I'm saying? Right? A bank's main job is to take it. They don't make money for us.
Yeah.
But see, people like a bank because we feel that it's safe and what? Safe and secure.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, because it's FDIC insured, we think that's a form of security.
Mm.
But when we look at 2008, most of the banks, didn't a lot of banks fail?
Yeah, they did.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
But see, I'm not saying that investment companies didn't, some of the, but a lot of them, you're buying a physical asset.
Mm-hmm.
See, we got to be focused on buying more assets and just not just having money into a bank. Right? So that's why I want my clients and let their money grow. Right? Let it save and invest money. Let's not get a 1% or 2% rate of return. Because the bank takes our money into the front door, they walk it out the back door, and get it between an 8% to a 30%+ rate of return again on our money. Isn't that crazy?
That is crazy.
So why shouldn't we get that rate of return?
We should.
But see, most big financial companies, like I just named earlier, they don't want to work with middle class though.
Mm.
Right? So if you don't have between $100,000 and $250,000 liquid cash to invest, a lot of advisors, even if you work with, like, say, Bank of America, right? Bank of America, you can go to their one of their advisors in the house. But if you don't have $100,000 or $250,000, they're not going to give you that concierge service, right? Because they don't make enough money off that.
Mm.
But see, what's so special about what we do, Russell, we don't have those minimums, right? But we still work with all the top investment companies.
Mm.
So now people can set up investment accounts or anything with us for as little as like $25, right? So now we don't have those limitations on, you have to keep $2,000 in an account. If it drops below, you get a penalty, you get a fee. We don't do that, right? But you still have that access to meet with all the investment firms. And that's what we want to do. Focus on investment company. I hardly keep any money in the bank. Right? I don't get it. Honestly, if it's for bills, expenses, payroll, anything else, boom, it's always invested because I always want that money to grow.
Okay. Mutual funds. We're about running low on time here. We're on air with Russell Fotels, but we're talking to Chris Bush today.
Come on.
With Wealth After Work. Okay. So that's his company, that's his organization. He's telling us, you know, giving us the skinny, giving us the 411. on what we should, you know, kind of do with some of the money that we have, if it's a rollover, if it's 401ks, if it's, we're going to talk about mutual funds real quick.
Yeah.
And he said that the minimum, like $25?
$25 to set up a fund.
Yeah, give me a lowdown on what a mutual fund is.
Yep, so a mutual fund is basically a collection of stocks.
Okay.
Right? I'm big on, of course, I can, you know, help people invest in stocks or bonds or those type of things individually, but when you're building a solid foundation, you know, I really want it to be secure, right? I'm not going to really teach my clients in the beginning to just, let's go, quote unquote, gamble on one stock, right?
Mm-hmm.
To me, that's like having an elevator with one string. God forbid something happened to that one string. What's happened to the elevator?
It's going down,
right? Mm-hmm. So in our foundational portfolio, I always use mutual funds. I have like a financial foundational account structure. I always make sure people have like an emergency fund. Right. Again, with an investment company, a short term account to where maybe they have some, they want to invest in a business or fund their own business or help put money away for a down payment on a car, a home. right? Again, I don't really teach my clients to put money on down payment on a home to save it in the bank, mm-hmm. right? We need to make that money grow while we're saving for that home. So we have like a short-term account, mm-hmm. right? And then you have a wealth building account. So with those portfolios, that foundation, those three accounts, they're all in mutual funds. When the average mutual fund has anywhere between 150 to 200 different individual stocks in that one portfolio. But because essentially it's actually managed through an investment firm, let's say a Fidelity, again, they're actually those money managers, right? So God forbid something happened. Let's say Kmart was in a portfolio. Say God forbid something happened to Kmart. They take Kmart out and they go put Target in, mm-hmm. right? God forbid something happened to Toyota. They take Toyota out and they go put Tesla in. Mm-hmm. So that means your portfolio is always being managed. So that's the way you can kind of manage your risk a little bit better, right? So that's what I kind of use for my clients as an introductory to lay a foundation. Now, if you want to invest in other stocks or in individual companies, we can do that as well. But I also want you to make sure, I want you to take care of today while we make those gambles or everywhere else. If you want to kind of do the individual stock thing.
Wow. Yeah. Very good. Very good. A lot of education in a short period of time. So so I'm hoping everybody was able to digest some of that information. If there's any questions at all, feel free to call me and then I'll, you know, give that information over to Chris. And I can, if you're interested in talking to Chris, just let me know and I will, you know, get you in touch with Chris. So that's not a problem at all, because that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to educate and then, you know, give you the vehicle or the avenue to get things taken care of. Because like I said, once I got this information, you know, my job is to get information and share with other people, especially if I know it's people that are out there that can use that same information. And it starts with my family, right? So it started with my family, and then it grew to the hospitality industry or the industry that I'm in myself. So, but like I said, any industry, no matter what you do, this is something that's relevant, that's going on now, that you can get involved in, that, you know, there's no reason for excuses, okay? Especially when it comes to like life insurance and things like that. You know, how do you set the easiest way to form an estate is get life insurance. I mean, that's it.
Immediate estate.
Exactly. Immediate
estate.
Tax free. Wow. There you go. Hey, why not do it?
You know?
So anyway, so you have any parting words for the show?
No, I mean, the only thing I have, Russ, I just really want to encourage people, you know, we're going into the new year. You know, mm-hmm. I think one of top three financial, you know, goals for New Year's, everybody want to has a, you know, get on track with their finances. Mm-hmm. And, I think it's important to do it now before the new year starts. But it's important just to say, hey, look, let's keep things simple. That's what I'm big on, Russell, right? When we think about getting our finances, I think a lot of it's like a big weight of everybody's shoulders, right? Mm-hmm. That it has to be complicated, or we got to pay a lot of money. Like, I don't charge fees, right? Mm-hmm. For advice or consultations. I don't do that. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't have it. So I want to make sure clients understand that, look, we can do this, but it's baby steps, right? People understand, like Dave Ramsey, right? The baby steps. Mm-hmm. But I think we just got to take it one day at a time and lay a foundation that makes sense. And there's no better time than now, because the years are going to go by and by, and it's just, we don't need to get caught up in the high cost of waiting, right? Because if we wait to do $100 a day, it really costs us a lot of money, mm-hmm. right? Every single month, every single day that we do it. So I just really want to encourage everybody to, hey, look, let's get your financial house in order. Let's live a stress-free life financially, and let's move forward. Let's have a great 2020.
Very good. I like that. And we're going to end it on that. So thank you so much to Chris. I appreciate you coming. And that's Wealth After Work, Christopher Bush. Okay. But any questions at all you have for Chris, I mean, please just send those through me, and I can definitely forward those on to Chris. That's at Russell at russellofhotels.com. Check out russellofhotels.com if you want to call me. My number is on the website as well. So thank you so much for everyone joining me, specifically the Facebook Live people. We do appreciate you. I don't take it lightly. And thank everybody for, you know, this is something I don't like to talk about, but you know, I have to, because a lot of people acknowledged my birthday yesterday. So I do appreciate people, you know, sending all their birthday wishes and things like that via Facebook or Instagram, or people that even picked up the phone and called me. So I do appreciate that. It does not go unnoticed. I mean, I got issues about, you know, celebrating birthdays, but that's my own issues, right? But
but I do.
I don't like celebrating a birthday.
Well, hey, look, we're going to the vegan In-N-Out, and we're gonna celebrate again.
So I do appreciate everyone reaching out and saying happy birthday. So thank you so much. Happy holidays, everybody. I'm not sure about next week if I'm doing the show. I'll let you know. I'll keep you posted, you know, via all my social media platforms, but I do thank you guys for you know, riding with me for the whole year. I mean, we're going up almost on a year that we've been doing this show. I think the end of January will be a year. So I do thank you for making 2019 a great year, and we look forward to 2020. And thank you again for Mr. Chris Bush for taking the time. Because the guy is, I don't know why or how he was able to even give me time, because the guy is constantly working, constantly doing this. And anyone that you can call at 2 o'clock in the morning, that means they're not getting a lot of sleep, okay? Including me. Why am I calling me at 2 in the morning?
So, hey, look, I'm working on my baby. I got to stay up for the baby, right?
That's right. That's my excuse. You go. There you go. All right. Well, you guys take care. Merry Christmas to everybody. Happy New Year if I don't talk to you before that, or if you don't listen before that. And you guys take care. Bye. Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining On Air with Russell of Hotels. Please tune in every Tuesday at 1 p.m. as we talk to other hospitality professionals. Your feedback is important. Email Russell at russell@russellofhotels.com with any questions or suggestions. Until next time, try not to be a person of success, rather become a person of value.